All right. Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Good to see you this morning. Voluntary attendance. I can't believe it. Isn't that wonderful? Ann said, "What do you want for Father's Day?" I said, "How about you going away all day?" Well, she's not here this morning. Oh, me. Gonna be in trouble, aren't I? All right, happy Father's Day to everybody. Have you got a little loud there? Is it too loud at the back? Emma, are you all right back there? Okay, it's too loud for you in front. Always tell us, we free spirit here. If it's too loud, just jump up and say it's too loud. If you don't like what you hear, keep that to yourself. Good to see you. Be sure to thank Pam and H. Lee for letting us be here. Miss Betty for opening up. Please go to H. Lee's new place for lunch and support him. If we don't get more over there, he's going to have to quit holding that thing. So try to come if you can. We thank Butch Smith and his wife for some new speakers they gave us for here. Give them a big hand. Butch is around here somewhere. And we thank him for that. Bible study, 7 o'clock Monday at the Sleep Inn. First volcano to the left, out Highway 17 toward Wilmington. Envelopes on the counter, got them out for the different people we try to help and try to do that. Today, Kay Burridge is not doing well at all. She's in Duke Hospital. They have a lot of hospital bills they need help with. And as we said last Sunday, we're having an auction for her at H's New Place July the 5th. They'll auction off pictures and different bric-a-brac just to raise some money. And most of you don't find your way there. So put a dollar in here today. And next Sunday and the next Sunday, that'll give us about three Sundays. And if everybody puts a dollar in, we'll be able to help them some better than just taking up one collection. So please do that today, if you will, and next Sunday and the next. The free tape ministry back here, Larry does that. We suffer when he's gone, and he's back, and he does that on his own and take tapes and send them to people. We send out over 100 a week to different people in several countries and states. If you want to invite somebody to church, the best way to do is take a tape to them and say, "This is what we do at church. Listen to it. If you'd like it and you think you'd like to go down there, go with me one Sunday." And do that. Say what now? No tapes today. We will have some next Sunday. It's all right. We're just getting ready. It's like that rope I had a while ago. Somebody said, "What you doing with that rope?" I said, "I'm going to get me a dog. I'm positive." And he's thinking about getting a dog if you ain't got your rope ready. Ann Vereen is not doing very well. Keep praying for her. It's not too late for miracles. We talked with her the other day, and we'll go by again today there. Kay's auction, we're going to do that. The Lumber River Quartet will be here June 30th. Nice quartet's coming to sing for us. And Ann's gone fishing. She's in the tournament, and I hope she wins. She's got down here due to technical difficulties last week. Sermon did not get recorded. This will just make us all appreciate the tape ministry that much more. Doing without one makes you appreciate it more in her mind. We never did get along good. So she said, "So get comfortable, as this will be a long service today. Since last week did not get recorded, I'm preaching it again, and there'll be two sermons today. Hope you brought your lunch," she said. And then she don't show up. You know. Oh, we're so have so much fun down here. How many here for the first time? Anybody here? All right, we're so glad to have you. We're so glad to have you. Good. You regulars know what to do. Circle them. Don't let them out before it's over. And we'll get things done. All right, so today we're preaching on Who's Your Daddy? The world takes that term and drags it through the mud, as they do everything else decent. But who's your daddy is a theological question and a deep one. I remember when I was a little boy looking like Opie Taylor running around. They'd ask, who's your daddy? And I'd say, Noman. I couldn't say Norman. Noman Greenway. And so your daddy the preacher. Yeah, and 100,000 little old ladies asked me. And my brother and I decided to get a sign one Sunday and put it on. We got beat. It said, it said, no, I don't remember you. Yes, I've grown. And no, I'm not going to be a preacher like my daddy when I get there. Oh, me. But children change. They ask my little boys, Scott, you going to be a preacher like your daddy when you get big? And kids are arrogant today. You know how they are. He just looked at him and said, I was hoping to be a little better. Okay. So if you are a father or a daddy or both, we're glad to have you today. It's been said anybody can be a father in a short amount of time, but it takes a lifetime to be a daddy. And it does. My little boy, I called him that. He's 26. He's Ann's little boy. I got him when he was 4 or 5. She hollers, you don't know anything, 4 or 5. He was 5. And so, well, you know, we got married. She said, I got to pick something up at the house, go on the honeymoon. Right? I'm looking for the luggage. Here come a 5-year-old. I called him Suitcase for 3 years. She got mad about that. So we had to call him Scott. But he's precious, and I loved him right off. She came to visit me and my wife, who's with the Lord. And that little old boy, I can see him right now, little chunky chicken, and she's got him. I said, well, come here, little buddy. What a good-looking little fellow you are. She said, he doesn't go to strangers. He liked to jump out of her arms coming over there. I said, this is my kind of guy. I like you. And as things worked out, he became mine. But he was listening to a country song the other day on the radio. And he came home and told his mother about it. Said she knows every country song ever written. And she said, he said, I heard a song today. Said it was about a man who married a lady who had a little boy. And it was, the song was by the little boy as he had grown up. And he was singing and telling his mother and his father, said he didn't have to love me. He loved me because he loved me. He said, you got to love your own children, but he didn't have to love me. And the kid was saying, he said, that's kind of about me, isn't it? And I said, yeah, that's kind of about you, son, because you couldn't love anybody more. He's a honey. If you brought your Bible today, turn to Romans 8:14-18. Romans 8:14-18. And we'll teach you how to find out who's your daddy. I was glad my daddy was my daddy and my father was my father, but I was always just so happy to be here, I didn't really care. Whatever you get for Father's Day has no meaning to it. It's that kid loves you. I'm sure, I got a note from Ann this morning. It said, Happy Father's Day. I love you, but gone. I looked for the present for about 30 minutes. There wasn't nothing there. I know Scott will be there Monday or Tuesday with a forgotagain. I'm sure you've got one. They call and say, I forgot again. I just call them forgotagains. And I'll get mine Monday or Tuesday. Who's your daddy? Romans 8:14-18. We'll pray and then we shall expound the scriptures. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. Come to you in the name of Jesus on Father's Day, for truly you're his and you're ours. And we thank you for that fact that we can know through the shed blood we have become children of God. Thank you so much for a beautiful day. It's no prettier anywhere in this world today. And thank you for the beautiful ocean and sunshine and sand sometimes we take for granted. But how you provide it just for our benefit, it's the only reason it's there. We thank you for these folks who have gathered together just to hear the word of God. No other room, no other reason to be here. Just to praise your name and to worship you, and that all glory, honor, and praise go unto you. We thank you for the visitors who have come our way and decided to stop by for the service. Pray for those who are providentially hindered, those who are sick, couldn't come by. Be with Kay and be with Ann, be with others who are sick. Help us, Lord, to preach thy word as you would have it preached. As ever, remove me from this place that you be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten, please let it be. Anything that should be remembered, please make it be that someone sitting before us who doesn't have a spiritual father, who doesn't have a heavenly father, who's not in the family of God, will not leave in that condition. Thank you for your goodness and your love. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's capital S, the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, and that spirit's a small s, the bondage fear, the spirit of bondage. But you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Here we find that your father, in verse 14, is a qualification to be a child of God. There's a qualification to know you're in the family of God. There's a litmus test in the first verse. For if you're led by the Spirit of God, then you're a son of God. And if you aren't led by the Spirit of God, you're in deep, deep trouble. You'll hear the old saints of God say, well, yes, yesterday I was led by the Lord to do so and so, and I was led by the Lord to do this and led by the Lord to do that. And you wonder what they're talking about. But you see, these people are so close with God, and they understand what being in Christ means, because that is their entire life, is their relationship with their Father. And they depend on the leading of the Holy Spirit of God for everything they do. The young Christian, you will depend on the bigger things and ask the bigger things. But these old saints, you'll see, they depend on everything. I was visiting with Mike Hatch up in Clinton the other day, good friend of mine. And hadn't seen him in a while, and we visited. And I've told you the story before. He had a little grandmother, a very godly little woman, and she'd sit on the porch and watch her read her Bible as the kids played baseball in the front yard. And they had one little old ragged ball with the seams busted and the insides coming out, and they thought they were playing. And every now and then somebody really hit one, and it would go over in the weeds and get lost. They couldn't find the ball, and they'd go get Granny, because they knew she could. And he said, I can see her right now. She'd say, well, gather around here, gather around the rocking chair, make a circle and hold hands, and we're going to pray. And she'd say, Lord Jesus, the children are having a nice time today in your sunshine, enjoying the ball game, and they've lost the ball. And they only have one, and we can't buy another, and if you would, I'm going to find the ball for them. Lead me to the ball. And that may sound like a simple request. You are almost foolish. But the little old lady would walk out there, and within a minute she'd find the ball every time. And you will find that your Heavenly Father doesn't think finding the ball is too small. There's no request that you have or nothing in your life that takes place if you are a son of God and led by the Spirit of God that doesn't concern Him. Nothing. Nothing that He's not concerned about. And the Scriptures teaches us that if you're a son of God, that you will be taught by the Holy Spirit of God, which leads you and which dwells within you. The Bible goes so far to say that you don't even need a teacher. Thankful for the seminarians who spend their lives and the professors who study so hard and dedicate their lives to learning this book and all about it and the various languages and the archaeology and all the things concerned, and then take time to train preachers, and that's wonderful. We're proud of the preachers who go out and preach the word after they learn it and study it all their life. In the day go by, a preacher who's really a preacher doesn't study 2-3 hours a day, not a day. It never ends. But the Bible says you need not have a teacher, that the Holy Spirit of God will teach you what you need to know out of this book if you read it. No one else around to help, He'll do it by Himself. If there's someone else to help, He'll send you to them. That's why a lot of you come here. Boy, I've never heard anybody preach like that before. It's not that I'm so wonderful, although around the house I got a lot of gold medals. But you see, most preachers have put the Bible on the shelf. And it's not anything I do except preach the Word of God as it comes here, as that Spirit teaches me what it says. And truly, when you are a son of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. Then the Sunday goes by. That sometime during the week, and sometime it's Sunday afternoon, and other times it's late Saturday night, and you say, Lord, show me the right thing to preach today. And very oftentimes you'll have yours all mapped out and ready to go, and He'll say, excuse me, don't know. And throw a Bible verse in front of you just that you happened to run across, you thought, and there it goes. And then He begins to show you, this is what you need this Sunday. You do this Sunday. And I never argue. I've learned better than that. Your son of God, He will correct you in your activity. You see, we are like wild young colts. We want to be a horse someday, but we want to kick up our heels every now and then. Get out here and get out of line. We all do that. And He knows that, but you're a son of the living God. He won't put up with it long. He'll start correcting you. He'll start narrowing you down to the path He wants you to go until you decide to go on it, and He will correct your actions. A lot of bad things will happen to you, and a lot of things won't work out the way you thought they were going to if you're a son of God and you start going this way and that way. You'll find doors begin to close and opportunities close down and friends go away and stuff starts to happen. He's just Him correcting you, getting you back on course. The easy way to do it is get on course and stay there, and you don't need correction. It didn't take many whippings by my daddy for me to agree that he was probably right. He certainly was bigger, and he owned the belt. And God's right, and the Holy Spirit of God's not going to teach you and lead you in a direction that you shouldn't go. But when His correction has to be for your benefit to the point He has to hurt you, He may lay you down a little while. There's people on TV who don't believe that, but you let them get on and they'll start laying down a little while. He'll chastise you, Scripture says. And He's a good father, He's the best father there's ever been, and He'll start by just warning you. That little voice within will say, you don't need to be here. You don't need to be in on this. You don't need to take part on this. You need to just back off a little while. And you go ahead and He gets your attention. If He has to, He'll tap you on the shoulder. He's also got a tube before He'll hit you right between the eyes with. My landed right in this area. Believe me, it's there. Do you mind? Not at all, because it's just like your daddy when he brought you up as a teenager and he said, don't, you did anyhow. And one day he had to just say, I can't talk to you anymore. I'm going to have to take you back behind the barn like we used to and wore you out. You thought you were too big for a whipping. You found out different. But you didn't hate him for it. Later on, you loved him for that, because had you kept going in that direction he saw you going in, where would it have led? Holy Spirit of God, if you're a son of God, comforts you. That's actually the meaning of the paraclete, the comforter, one who will come alongside and comfort you. And there's nothing more comforting than to have the Spirit of God live within you and go through the trials and tribulations that this world is going to throw at you. There's nothing more comforting. A lot of you folks on TV get all excited and they get caught up. They're trying to bring the millennium in before Jesus gets here, and it's not going to happen. And they think if you become a Christian, all of a sudden everything, nothing but good happens. I'm sorry, that's not true. We live in a world of sin, and the roses still have thorns. And that beautiful orange moon that rises up here in the June, in the summertime we love to see in the evening, I hate to destroy that for you. The reason it's orange is the smog in the air. If you notice, it turns perfectly white when it gets above the trash. The Lord Jesus said, look, there's going to be trash in your life, and problems are going to come in your life, and you're not going to get along, and you dogs who married those cats are going to have wars, because dogs and cats have a hard time living together. But there's nothing too hard for me to settle, and there's no problem I can't solve, and I will comfort you no matter what happens. I sat with a young lady today, a couple of days ago, I'll be back over there today, who is terminally ill with cancer. And bless her heart, she asked everybody else to leave the room. And we stayed there about an hour and had a nice conversation. And she had asked that if she does pass on, somebody sing the 23rd Psalm. And I said, have you ever heard that preached? She said, well, kinda. I said, I thought so. Would you like to hear what it really means? And she said, I sure would. So we held service there for about an hour, and I preached the 23rd Psalm to her. And we both agreed we were really glad that that shepherd was our father, and that we were comforted no matter what happened. If she passed away with her cancer, or I had a heart attack, or was hit by a car on the way home, or whatever happened, that we were comforted, that we were in the hands of that shepherd. And the Holy Spirit of God gave us peace that passes all understanding. For I haven't sat there, and maybe you have, when the doctor says there's no hope. They take out the feeding tubes and no more medicines allowed. Your family gathers around and you're sitting there looking at the preacher with a smile on your face and a gleam in your eye, saying, this is the way I want the funeral to go. That kind of peace doesn't come from the world. That kind of peace only comes by the sons of the living God who have Him living within them. Verse 15 says, we're not to have any fear, for you've not received the spirit, little s, of bondage, again to fear. But you've received the spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the spirit of adoption is a spirit of safety. One of my best friends in the world, his grandmother ran a orphanage in Greenville, South Carolina, run by the state, and she was the head lady, and would go out and eat with them sometime and visit around when he wanted to visit his grandmother. Then we got friends with the little kids, and it was just the spirit of adoption for them was, I hope somebody comes and adopts me today. And the little ones really didn't know, and they were just hoping. They had been in a foster home or two some, but the older ones knew that the older they got, the less chance they had of being adopted. But the little ones had great hope, because they knew if they could be adopted, it was no more orphanage. Not that that was a bad place. It was clean and they were well fed and cared for and had friends and played and went to school and did everything all the other kids did, but you do not have a mama and daddy. And they knew that. And the foster homes, and there's loving people who do that and care for little children, but then one day they have to leave. But all of them's wish was, someday I can be adopted. Someday somebody will love me enough to take me into their family and make me one of theirs and treat me just like I'm one of theirs and love me just like I'm their baby. And that's my hope, and that's the spirit of adoption those kids have. And the Lord knew that when he inspired this verse to be written. He said, look, you can call me Abba, Father. Max Licato, one of my favorite authors, I was reading yesterday, said he was in Jerusalem, and there was a Jewish man with his hat and his curls, Orthodox Jew, and his little girl was with him, and they were walking, and the daddy got ahead of the little girl, and he heard her holler, Abba, 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 Abba. She hadn't heard that. Over here, we say, Father, Father. Or we say, Daddy, Daddy. And Jesus said, we can call him our Father. In fact, we can call him Daddy. He wanted that relationship between you and him to be so close that you didn't need a cloak, or you didn't need a crown, or you didn't need an appointment by somebody. You didn't need to be a preacher or a bishop or a cardinal or anybody else. But you, as a child of God, could pull on the robe of heaven and say, Daddy. And he'd say, just a minute, angels, my baby's calling. What can I do for him? And just like your daddy used to do. And that closeness only comes when people have the Spirit of God within them and know that God is their Father through being born again into the family of God by receiving Christ unto themselves. And if you today have no father to call on, before we get through today, I'd like to give you one. So you can sit with the spirit of adoption, because if you haven't been adopted into the family of God, we'll show you how to do that today. They make a distinction here between the word children and the word son. The word son, you're made a son of God, is a relationship. You see, whatever your age is, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are placed into the family of God as a full-grown human being, as a full-blown son. And when he says child, that means you've been born again, and you can be 85 and accept the Lord today and be born again, and you're a spiritual child. You're a spiritual baby. The proof of this sonship is in verse 16. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if you're a new Christian or not one at all, this seems like gobbledygook to you and something out of Harry Potter. The Spirit himself, how is a spirit going to bear witness with my spirit? Once you're in the family, you'll understand that. I've been with my dad and seen him pull over to the side of the road. But just a minute. I'm going to leave you here and go down and pray in the woods a minute or two and come back and say, I'm supposed to go to such and such a town. There's a preacher over there. Church is splitting. And I'm saying, how do you know that? You hear voices? No. No, 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 no. Led by the Spirit of God, son, we're supposed to do this. And I thought it was unusual till I saw it happen too many times to too many Christians. I was talking to Cooter Douglas's sister. You know Cooter? Cooter's sister, very good Christian girl from Charlotte. We were at the Boulevard Grill talking to Cooter's dad and his sister and having a little conversation. And he said, well, I'd like to come sing sometime. You come right on. And he did, and I hope he comes back. It's the first time I'd met the sister, and we had a nice talk, and it wasn't long. Of course, I invited her to church, and it wasn't long before she was letting me know she was a born-again son of the living God. She was a child of God. I was so glad to hear that because I knew a Christian home had been there at some time and that some friends of mine had heard the gospel, whether they make use of it or not. And she said, let me tell you a story. Preacher, it happened to me. I said, okay. She said, we go to a church in Charlotte and we began to have a Korean ministry. A lot of Koreans had moved into Charlotte and we felt that they needed an outreach. So we began having a little ministry in the small chapel beside the church. We've built a new one and we turned it over to them and said, you guys can have this and have service there under our direction. We'll provide the money and the lights and all the things you need. And they were so happy. He said, we held prayer meeting at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, and it was largely a prelude to choir practice. We didn't do a lot of praying. He said, that handful of Koreans would be at their church at 5 a.m. Pray for an hour and then they'd disperse and go to work. And they began to grow and we stayed the same. Then they got the same size we were. Before we know it, they got bigger. We should have just swapped churches, I guess. But one day the lady came and said, I need to go somewhere and I don't have a car. Will you take me? And you said, be glad to. Where are you going? Said, I don't know. Excuse me. Said, I don't know. Said, well, when will we know? Said, we'll get in the car, we'll know. The lady got in the car, knows nothing about Charlotte, and even if you do, you're going to get lost. She said, go that way. I went that way for a little while. She said, go that way. Went that way a little while. She said, go that way. I said, stop here. I said, that's it. I said, what's it? She said, that's where we're going to build a church, right there on that corner. I said, the property's not even for sale. She said, who owns it? That's where the church is going to be. I said, I don't know. I suppose the farmer at the end of the lane down there where that house is, it looks like that's his property. Let's go see. Knocked on the door. Lady said, corner. Came to buy it. Going to build a church there. Guy said, well, ma'am, this is a private property and it's farm has been in the family for years and it's not for sale. She said, no, on the corner we're going to build the church on the corner. God told me that's where to build a church. You must sell. And he looked at her and said, I can't sell it. And she said, why? Said, because the Lord told me you were coming and to give it to you. Oh, me. The heathen ain't going to believe that. He ain't going to care for that. It's all right. Those of us who have seen our Father work, and those of us who have had the Holy Spirit bear witness inside of us, know without a shadow of a doubt that He bears witness with our witness that we're the Son of God. I can listen to the radio and TV preachers, and you let one start easing on the wrong doctrine, bam, up comes that red flag, and it's not me. It's the Lord saying, watch that one. Listen to Him. Get out the book. You know better than that. Get out the book. And in 2 minutes, I got in and said, hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So that's the way preachers stay on track. It's those who don't do that who get off track. And sadly enough, in about 75% of the churches in America, this book's been put on the shelf. It's not relevant anymore. It doesn't work anymore. It don't work for Him because He doesn't have He who works within you in Him. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And when he says, when the fullness of time was come, that's not just a prosaic line that sounds good. Please understand, God is always on time. He won't be early and he won't be late. He'll always be right on time. I've encouraged his speed from time to time, as I'm sure you have. Almost to say, where are you? Knew better. That's blasphemy. I know where he is. You see, as humans and finite minds and trying to discern the infinite, we don't understand why a lot of times the healing doesn't come till you get to heaven. We don't understand why you run completely out of money before something good happens. We don't understand losses. A lady here smiling today said a month ago, I lost my husband. I'm a new widow. And I said, I'm sorry for that. I've been there and I've done that. But understand, everything's going to be all right. It was time. And we don't argue with God's time. And when the fullness of time was come, and if you go back and check the geography and the history and the culture and see exactly when Jesus was born, when he came, how they waited till Rome had taken over the world and the entire world practically was known world, was speaking one language, or at least it was understood in those areas. And all the road structure led to there, and all the caravans came through there, and that gospel could start there, and in a minimal amount of time, spread into the whole world. He didn't come late. I'll play the tapes of my dad and sit and listen to them, and some of them were while he was living, and some were after he went to be with the Lord Jesus, and I'll hear Elmer Ummager, the announcer, say, his wonderful word for the world, the late Dr. W. Norman Greenway. And I say, Elmer, you should have checked with me. He ain't late. He's early. I'm late. He's there. He's on time. He's not late. We turn everything around, try to make it bad. And somebody told me, one of Ann Vereen's sweethearts, and who's had cancer herself, told me before the service that I sat and looked at her eyes and said, honey, are you scared? She said, no, I'm ready. And she said, you know, I'd trade places with you if I could, because I know where you're going and I'm just a little bit jealous that it looks like you're going to be there first. You see, that's a real Christian. That's really trusting and really looking ahead. And I was laughing. I had a yellow rope here a while ago, left over from putting up our canopy, and just had a rope. And somebody said, what you doing with that rope? I said, I'm going to get me a dog. I'm positive. Get you a rope first if you really believe you're going to get you a dog. A little girl in Oklahoma went to a prayer meeting for rain. I mean, it was the dust bowl. The crops were down. It was over. And they said, we got to pray, and we're going to have a prayer meeting. And she went, and she was about 7, and she was the only one that brought an umbrella, because she was the only one that believed it was going to rain. Don't pray for rain unless you bring an umbrella. Don't pray to help somebody unless you're willing to do what God asks you to do to be part of that help. Be led by the Spirit of God, because when he came in his fullness of time, he didn't make Jesus come out of an egg or appear in the sky or be found under a rock. He made her of a woman like all the rest, but of a woman, not a man and woman. Covered the virgin birth right there, didn't he? He was made under the law, so nobody could say, who is this? You can trace his lineage back to King David. And he did it just right on time, that we might receive the adoption of sons, those without a father, those who were out of the family of God, those who were estranged from the law, those who had no Savior. That one day, as the kids in the orphanage, we could say, one day, I'm going to get a daddy too. And we did. Verse 17 and 18 says, if you're children, then you're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And boy, I like that. If I'm born into a family, I can be the worst kid that there ever was, and I can grow up to be a criminal, and I can grow up to kill people and rob banks and do all the other things we consider hateful. And my daddy can do anything he wants except change the fact that I'm his kid. He can change his name. He can refuse to acknowledge mine. He can take out some kind of papers. He can keep me away by having the police not allow me to enter the family place. But he cannot ever get rid of the fact that I'm his kid. And I like that. Once I'm born into the family of God by accepting the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, I become a child of the living God and is placed as a son of God with full privileges. The scripture says I also become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We have a couple of attorneys who visit with us here, and I've asked them, I already knew, but I thought I'd ask just for safety. A joint heir, doesn't that mean equal shares? That's right. If I'm a joint heir, nobody can get your share. It's yours. Joint means equal, yes, so I am to inherit what Christ inherit and all things that'll be put unto him. That's right. So I'm standing here, a heir with Christ Jesus, an inheritance of the heavenlies and the earths and whatever else come about, and they are mine, and I'm preaching the prosperity gospel. What kind of fool are you? You already own everything. You're a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, for heaven's sake. And to be a joint heir means that I am due all he has and all he is preparing. The scriptures tell me that eye has not seen and ears have not even heard the wonderful things that God has and that he's preparing for those who love him. I can't imagine what it would be. I said in amazement in the place you allow me to live in and the furniture you gave me to sit on. And early this morning, about 6 o'clock, I'm up and got me some tea and toast, and I'm sitting there looking and reading and getting ready for this. And I look out the two doors there that face the sunrise, just coming, and that big ball sitting right out there before it's too bright. It's just nice and orange, and Lake Ann is over there, and the ducks and everything. I was informed this week the sun rises over Lake Ann. I thought it rose over the Atlantic. And I'm sitting there watching the little ducks and being thankful for all I see and saying, listen, I know that sun is so far away, everybody in the world can see it, and you could take a million worlds and put in it and shake them around like a bunch of beans. And I know that if I take a 10-cent piece, just a dime, tonight when the stars come out, and I take just one dime and hold it at arm's length, that little circle is blocking out 15 million stars. And my Father owns all that. And my Father made all that. And my Father made it possible for me to be in the will and to be a joint heir with Christ to all of that. I would say I got in the right family. I would say he's taken well care of me. The Bible tells me one day in Revelation there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, and there is debate among the theologians whether that's this earth will be refurbished or whether it will be destroyed and a new one made, and whether the heavens we see now will be refurbished or whether they will be remade, or whether an entire new universe will be made. There's argument on both sides there. All I know is I'll put my faith in the one who made this one. For the beauty I see around me is under a curse. And I can only imagine what it will be when he removes the curse and says, I've got something for you. Close your eyes. Now look at this. I laugh. I'm having a lot of fun writing a country song. And one of the lines goes, I can't see the stars at night. And the neon's got too bright. Country's getting too close to town. And we can't and stop a minute and think. Unless you walked out on that beach this week, it's been a long time since you got somewhere away from the lights and got in a relatively dark area and looked up and saw those stars, hadn't it? You need to do that tonight, even if you have to drive a little way. Get away from the neon and away from the lights and get out in the darkness and look straight up and say, thank you, Daddy. I can hardly wait to see it all. I can hardly wait to see it by your side. You say, well, you either got the best program going or the craziest man I ever met. It's a little of both. Well, how'd I get in on that? Well, the instruction book is right before us. And John 1:12-13 says, as many as received him, understand you got to qualify. Doesn't say as many as heard about him or thought about him or wondered about him. It says as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I tell you over and over, believe doesn't mean just to acknowledge as a historical figure. Believe doesn't mean just to recognize a life was lived. Believe in the Greek is pisteuo, and it means total reliance on, plus nothing, minus nothing. To those who have received him and believe and trust in him, plus nothing, minus nothing, who believe on his name. And when it says his name, it doesn't mean to believe just his name is Jesus. It means in everything that name stands for. And Jesus is the English rendition of the Greek. In the Old Testament, the English was Joshua, Yeshua in the Hebrew. And Jesus' name in the Hebrew is Yeshua. And Yeshua means he shall save his people. He's the Savior. And to them who have received him and believe that he is the Savior of the world, to them he gave the power to become sons of God and to get out of the orphanage of hell where you have no father. Verse 13 says, who were born not of blood, that means the normal relationship of a man and woman, and a baby springs forth from that, nor of the will of the flesh, where someone says, well, we need to have children, let's try to have children, nor of the will of a man who said, I've just got to have a son, I've got to have a baby, I've got to have someone to carry my name on. No, none of those, but were born of God, a new birth, regeneration of the Holy Spirit, where God makes you a new creature in Christ. And it only happens to those who say, I see myself without a father. I see myself without a Savior. I see myself, if I die today, I'll not be part of heaven. I have no daddy to call on. And somehow along the way, the modern day theologian said, no, the fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man, all God people are children of God, and all brothers are alike. No, I'm sorry. God's not your father unless you've received him as such. He'll not have you in his family unless you ask to come in. And please don't call someone who curses God my brother. Don't call someone who kills the missionaries the other day trying to spread the gospel in the Philippines. Please don't call him my brother. Please don't let the man who just starved his little baby to death, 51 days with no food, under the name of religion, please don't call him my brother. No, no. My brother is for life, not death. My brother loves God, doesn't hate God. My brother would know he was being led by the spirit of Antichrist, those against Christ, if he was told to let a little baby die. My father loves me. He's going to do the right thing. The scripture says there's one faith, and there's one Lord, and there's one baptism. And they'll accuse us, and you're going to hear it more and more about being non-tolerant. You better believe it. Break my car, I'll hit you with a tire tool. I don't tolerate that. Well, all religions, well, I agree with you. All religions are alike. I'll agree with that. We just happen don't be a religion. We have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been born again by his blood, shed on the cross of Calvary. When he arose the third day, he made it eligible for anyone who would call on him to be born into his family and have a father-son relationship, a most personal relationship. Go deal with the religionists, sir. I'm not one of them. And because you have a billion people praying to the wrong God, don't get mad at me if I try to help you. If you aren't bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ and know him not as your father, you're no better off than the guy in Haiti who is cutting a rooster's neck this morning, spilling out blood to pay for his sins. You're no better off. I don't care what kind of robes you wear and cathedrals you preach in. You're no better off. Who's your daddy? Theologically, if you can't say my daddy is the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, the creator of heaven and earth, who came to this earth as a baby and put on the flesh of man and manifested himself and lived a life sinless, died on Calvary's cross to pay for my sin and everyone's sin. And those who will accept that can be his son. Those who won't can't. End of it. One faith. There's one God, Jehovah. There's one baptism, and that's the regeneration of the Holy Spirit when you ask Christ into your heart. You haven't done that today, you fatherless. There's another name for that. The Bible uses it. I won't. You're in the family of man, but not in the family of God. You may do well here, but later it's going to come. It always has, hasn't it? And you're going to spend eternity somewhere. I hope you have a family to go to. And I hope your father is mine. If he's not, as we pray this morning and as the song plays, where you sit, just call on the Lord God. My business is done here. We don't ask you to come to the front or raise a hand or fill out a card. For those who do that way, that's fine. But God knows where you are right now. And you can make contact with him right now. I'm saying, Lord Jesus, if I died today, I don't have a family to go to. I can't call you my father. I'm not in the family of God. I've not received Jesus as my Savior. I've not confessed my sin, but I'd like to. I'm a sinner by choice. I can't name them all. Just forgive them all, please, and he will. Come into my heart and lead me like you lead these other Christians I see, and let me be part of you for eternity. I need a daddy. Won't you be mine? Shall we pray, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father? How good it is to call you our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're deserving of nothing. And you gave us everything. We were lost and undone and separated and nowhere to go and to live 60, 70, 80 years, and then we turn to dust, and there's nothing we could do about that, but we got sense enough to know that you're not going to give an oak tree longer life than you are a soul. That a turtle out here lives to be 120 is not going to have a better deal than the human being you created. So we found out and found the answer in the scriptures that you died, that we might be saved, that we could be born again, born of the Spirit, joined to you forevermore in the family of God. Thank you for that good news. Thank you that somebody told me along the way and I accepted that. And thank you for those among us here who have done likewise. But Lord, in a group this large, there is inevitably people who have no Savior. I'd ask that you deal with them today. And as you pass by, as we pray and the song plays, linger a while at their heart and tug on it and let them see that you are the answer and the only answer. And let them make this the greatest Father's Day they ever had. For they join your family and you become their Father. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for his holy sake, amen.